stay connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, January 7th. We spoke with tourists about paid parking in Balboa Park. That is next, but first, the headlines. San Diego County District Attorney Summer Steffen said yesterday that a Superior Court judge granted the Santana High School shooter's request to recall his original sentence and allow him to be resentenced. The defendant was 15 at the time of the 2001 shooting, where he killed two students and wounded 13 others. He pled guilty and was sentenced as an adult to 50 years to life in prison. The DA's office says the judge's new decision will transfer the defendant to the juvenile court system and immediately release him from prison without any parole supervision or determination that it would not pose a risk to public safety. The city of San Diego says the federal government is illegally building razor wire fencing on land the city owns in Marin Valley near the U.S.-Mexico border. On Monday, the city filed a lawsuit to try to stop the construction. City Attorney Heather Ferbert says federal agencies are trespassing and their work has irreparably harmed protected plant and wildlife habitats. In a statement to KPBS, the Department of Homeland Security said, quote, "We look forward to challenging this lawsuit." A $500,000 grant coming from California's Local Housing Trust Fund has now been doubled by the city through a matching grant program. The money will be used to increase the amount of affordable housing in Chula Vista. State Housing and Community Development Director Gustavo Velasquez says his department is committed to combating homelessness and expanding access to safe, affordable housing at all income levels. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
You might have heard lots of feedback from your fellow San Diegans about the new parking fees in Balboa Park after paid parking started Monday. Reporter Andrew Dyer went to speak with tourists yesterday to see what they have to say.
This is our first place that we visit. We just got here last night.
Laura Mendez just arrived in San Diego from Idaho, and Balboa Park is her first stop. She says she's already heard some of the fuss around the paid parking policy.
People were saying that people that live here also have to pay.
That's true, but at a discount. There's free parking at Lower Inspiration Point for 3 hours, but there are no signs saying so. Dmitry Korobenikov of Rochester, New York, found the free lot. He says he's surprised paid parking has been such an issue.
Well, I mean, usually when you're in the cities like big cities, you expect to pay, unfortunately.
The city says physical signs are coming, but all the information is available online. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
The city says the signs noting 3 hours of free parking were installed at the Lower Inspiration Point parking lot following Dyer's visit to the park. The California Supreme Court has declined to hear a case with implications for the future of San Diego's Midway District. The city wanted to lift the long-standing building height limit in the area to accommodate growth, but lawsuits over environmental reviews blocked that effort. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta has more about the court case and what's next for the neighborhood.
The city wanted to see thousands of new homes and a new sports arena under a project called Midway Rising. Voters approved a ballot measure to remove the height restriction twice, and both times a neighborhood group successfully sued to block the proposal. The lawsuits argued the city didn't do enough environmental reporting when they put the height limit on the ballot. The city argued they had covered it in previous environmental reports for the area. The courts disagreed. And now the California Supreme Court has declined to review San Diego's final appeal, which means, for now, the height limit will remain in place, and Midway Rising has hit another roadblock. But that doesn't mean an end to the project. The development team believes the state density bonus law would let them exceed the height limit, but it's unclear if the city is on board with that plan. And the Midway District has been rezoned to allow over 10,000 new homes regardless, so development is likely coming to Midway one way or another. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
San Diego is struggling to close a budget deficit this year. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the city's auditor is arguing his department should be spared from budget cuts.
San Diego's Office of the City Auditor digs deep into the operations of city departments in search of efficiencies and to investigate claims of waste, fraud, and abuse. City Auditor Andy Hanau says his department provides an exceptional return on investment. A 2024 audit made recommendations to the police department on how to better track and control overtime spending.
And according to the police department, they expect those changes to save $9 million this year in overtime costs, which is 1.5 times the budget of our office.
According to a memo Hanau released last month, his office receives less than $1 per $1,000 of city spending. He says that figure has dropped significantly over the past 15 years and that he's already had to delay filling vacant positions due to budget cuts.
So that all reduces the amount of audit and investigative work that we can do that would save taxpayers money and identify opportunities to improve the efficiency of the city.
San Diego finance officials are projecting a deficit next fiscal year of more than $110 million. Hanau says he's been asked to cut his budget by 7%, which would require laying off or furloughing staff. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The city of Del Mar wants to meet with California's Attorney General about a stalled cliffside housing development. North County reporter Alexander Wen says this comes after the AG's office accused the city of acting in bad faith on the project.
The back and forth between the state's Justice Department and the city is over the property on the bluff overlooking Del Mar's Dog Beach. The property owner wants to build a 259-unit apartment complex here called Seaside Ridge with 85 affordable units. The developer maintains that the project qualifies for a builder's remedy, making it easier to rezone the property. The city says the builder's remedy does not apply, and the AG is misrepresenting the issue. Councilmember Terry Gastelin is the housing liaison for the city. She says meeting in person could resolve miscommunication.
So when there's gaps in knowledge on either side and people need time to ask questions, it can be a whole lot more efficient than trying to go back and forth with letters and paper.
In an email to KPBS, the AG's office acknowledged that it has received the letter but declined to comment. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Changes to Medi-Cal and the Affordable Care Act could affect thousands of San Diego County residents. San Diego Union-Tribune healthcare reporter Paul Sisson sat down with Midday Edition host Jade Hindman to explain what would be impacted. Here's that conversation.
You know, before we get into the specifics, break down some of the biggest changes to Medi-Cal so far. I mean, what do we need to know heading in as we head further into this new year?
I think, you know, for the moment, the biggest changes are happening to the folks that we have in the covered California Affordable Care Act health plans. As has been covered a lot, the enhanced premium subsidies that they have been receiving have now expired. Congress has chosen not to renew them. So that creates an immediate effect for, about 120,000 people in San Diego County. And many more than that, statewide and nationwide.
How many people in San Diego rely on Medi-Cal and receive these subsidies?
Well, in terms of the subsidies, that's the ACA marketplace. We have about 108,000 people who are enrolled in those plans. And then we have closer to 1 million folks who are covered by Medi-Cal.
Mm. And how much more will they be paying per month under the increases?
Under the ACA increases, it really breaks down differently based on your income level. The hardest hits come to about 160,000 people across the state. About 12,000 of those live here in San Diego County. And these are folks who are in a household that makes greater than 400% of the federal poverty level. I looked that up for you. That's $62,600 per year for a single person, or $128,600 per year for a family of four. So I looked under Covered California's impact tables. For this group, they're going to see their average premium go from about $501 per month to $855 per month. So that's an increase in San Diego County of $354 a month, which is, you know, quite a lot of money. You know, it's a lower amount for people who make less than 400% of that federal poverty amount. Covered California says the average premium increase is going to be about 76% for folks who make less than those amounts that I just gave you. That's about $125 per month in additional premium costs for folks making a little lower on the income scale.
You know, which facilities in San Diego see the most Medi-Cal patients, and could these cuts pose an existential threat to hospitals already strapped for resources?
It's hard to fully understand that. You know, a big hospital like Grossmont Hospital out in La Mesa, I mean, that's a massive operation. They do see a lot of non-Medi-Cal as well. It's a cornerstone facility. So, you know, you start to wonder, is it going to be the hospitals shutting down? Probably not, but it may be paring back certain programs that people have come to rely on.
Yeah. Well, when we think about that, I mean, there are some organizations that are also using this as an opportunity to talk about how they can restructure Medi-Cal. What did you find out there?
You know, they are still really in the formative stages of this. You know, there are all kinds of different ideas on how Medi-Cal and Medicaid generally in the United States might be changed to operate more efficiently. You know, there's talks about capping the amount of spending per enrollee, and you know, that can be seen as a really a difficult idea in some places, but other states like Oregon have recently found ways to use these caps to help control spending and still put out a lot of service. So it's a little nebulous right now. They're just getting started in terms of doing this work. They're going to start meeting this month at the California Healthcare Foundation to really go through a whole bunch of proposals that they've sought from the community. And so I think we're going to hear more about that in the coming year.
That was Union Tribune reporter Paul Sisson speaking with KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Hindman. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day.
Connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.